When I was a when I was a kid, it goes back. It goes back a few centuries. There was somebody had, I don't know what, a publisher had published something, and I don't remember the exact name. Something called, like, the Bible Times. And what the person had done was taken stories from Tanakh and turned them into newspaper articles. So they would have, you know, the headline that floodwaters reaching new heights or whatever it is, and they would have an article, like a newspaper article, describing the marbles. You know, you turn a little bit later and you know, they'll have something about, you know, brothers sell Joseph as to slaves in Egypt or something like that. You go to Homishmos and they have about plague of locusts, and they had main articles and they had sub articles and they had little advertisements, which are cute things about, you know, things going on in Egypt and in Cana and Canaan or in Ur-Kasdim, you know, things about Nimrod, etc. And they had all sorts of stories from Tanakh and Midrashim and things mixed together, and it was all in this newspaper form. So it was interesting to read a little bit, which is, and the V.S. was sometimes very creative. But I saw recently somebody said, what would happen if modern-day newspapers were writing about the destruction of stone? Let's say you would have a newspaper, the New York Times, the Yediot Ahronot, the Jerusalem Post, whatever it is. And all of a sudden, stone gets destroyed. What would the newspapers write? So I'll tell you one thing they wouldn't write. They wouldn't write, V'Hashem himtir al stone v'al amora gafrit v'eish me'et Hashem en ha'shamayim. V'yafoch et harim ha'el v'et kol ha'kikar v'et kol yoshvei harim v'tzemach adma. That's not what they would write. They would write all sorts about unusual phenomenon hit the lower Jordan Valley. Unknown source, possibly because they were starting to be with scientists. And they'd say, well, maybe it has to do with sunspot activity. Or somebody will claim that there were maybe some sort of volcanic eruption, even though there were no volcanoes there. Somebody else would write about some sort of earthquake that might have happened. Others, the political commentaries will say it was probably some secret dirty bomb that the Arab sent, or the Israeli sent, or the Russian sent, or the Al-Qaeda sent, which exploded and created fire and brimstone all over. They would come up with every single theory in the world. Some of them slightly plausible, some of them the most ridiculous. But there would be one thing they would leave out of all of those theories. And that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The fact that V'Hashem Yimtir Al Sodom, that you won't find. And why not? Very simple. What does God have to do with what's going on in the world? Let's not confuse religious practices with reality. For most of the world, when it comes down to it, some, you know, they give certain respect to God, whatever God they believe in. But to a great extent, modern man says, okay, God takes care of those things. You go to your synagogue, you go to your church, you go to your mosque, you go to your temple, whatever it may be. But reality is reality. Now, everything has to have some sort of explanation other the fact than HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that Anshei Sodom Ra'im Mechatim L'Hashem Ma'ot and therefore ended up destroying it. So we would read these newspaper articles. And those of us who really understood it would like be so angry and so upset or laugh at how ridiculous the things are. Maybe write a letter to the editor. Maybe just, you know, hold it up and give a class about how look how bad the world is. Well, what happens if it's not the destruction of stone? And you stop and you think, to what extent do we We right here, us who are truly ma'aminim, b'nei ma'aminim, to what extent do we really think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world? So if I ask you, who here believes HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world? Everybody would, I assume, I hope, everybody would raise their hand. Who would raise their hand? Of course HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. But do we think and do we act on that belief? Now, to what extent do we take a look at global political situation? Take a look at what's going on here in Israel. Well, the tsaras that we have with the Arabs, and to what extent do we think and do we act as if only this party would get elected to lead the government, or if only this president would get this person would get elected as the president of the United States to assist Israel, if only, you know, this congressman would do this, if only we would try a different negotiating tactic, if only the Israeli government would adopt like this, we would solve all the problems. To what extent, in other words, do we think that the problems can all be solved with just some change in the political realm? And to what extent do we say the whole situation is not doesn't looking for a political solution? We need a spiritual solution. It's not how we're going to solve the problem. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be the one to solve the problem. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from us? What do we need to do in terms of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's going to solve the problem? Because otherwise it's not going to happen. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. Now, I'm not saying that we don't have to do our hishtadlut. We always have to do our hishtadlut. But to what extent do we make our hishtadlut 99% and HaKadosh Baruch Hu 1%? And to what extent do we make HaKadosh Baruch Hu 99.99% and our hishtadlut is 0.01%? And if we're not only talking about global things, national things, what about how we run our everyday lives? To what extent do we think we control things? To what extent do we think HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls things? When we start cutting corners and doing things that maybe we shouldn't be doing in order to be, you know, more successful in our business, do we really think that ultimately we'll be more successful, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't pay attention to what's going on? He doesn't see what's going on? He doesn't care what's going on? If we really thought HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, wouldn't we say, one second, if I do this, which isn't so honest, and it's not right, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want me to do this, it won't matter because I'm going to get ahead and I'll still be much more successful because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to just let me do whatever I want to do in this world and he doesn't really care. And I'm not out to judge anybody. Somebody told me not so long ago, a certain person who, probably somebody you've never heard of, so don't try to think of who it is, a certain person who lived in the Jewish community in New York, and many years ago, decades ago, was accused by the American government in this business of doing all sorts of, illegal activities, financial activities. I don't know eventually what happened to him, but whatever it was, I don't know if the allegations were ever proven, and the person's innocent until proven guilty. But the person did become quite wealthy. Somebody told me recently that this certain guy was giving lots of stock and all sorts of other things and invested in Madoff, the big scandal. And he lost a few $100 million that he had invested. Not a Coach Buffer's accountant. And I don't know whether this person was innocent or guilty of what he was accused of. But at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu squares all the cheshbonot. Everything is worked out. He has an excellent accountant. He does it himself. do we really think we get away with things? Because if we do, we know better than the newspaper articles about Stone. So how often do we do things financially, dealing honestly, not treating people the way we should be, because we think that if we're a little bit too nice, a little bit too much on the Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, we'll lose out on certain things, and we don't want to lose out, so we do things that aren't exactly 100% proper. And we really think we gain from it. Because otherwise, why would we do it? No one would do it if they thought they would lose. And one more thing. I find myself very often worrying about all sorts of things. That after the fact, I wonder, why was I worrying so much about it? Sometimes in the process of worrying about all the things that doesn't pay to worry about, you have to stop yourself for a moment and say, one second. At the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. So I have to do my hishtadlus, whatever that is, in the context of whatever is going to happen. And then, you know what the outcome is going to be? The outcome is going to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. Sometimes the outcome may be to my liking. Sometimes it may not be to my liking. But evidently, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided was going to happen. So I can come along and say, listen, I'd like to second guess him. I know a little bit better. I'd like to correct him. He gave the wrong answer. But I have to do what I have to do. Do my Hishtadlu. And then, okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. And I would very much like to be able to do that, because if I could do that, I think I'd be a lot calmer, a lot less worried about things. And I think we all could be that way. So maybe that's the challenge we have. Not to become the modern-day newspaper editors of Stone, but to realize HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. Maybe pay a little bit more attention. We say in davening the bracha, Vala Tzadikim, we never paid attention to it. It says, the same Sachar Tov L'chol HaBotchim B'Shimcha Be'emet. The bracha should give Sachar Tov for people who really, really trusted him in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Simcha Okeinu Imahem. And to be like my chelik to be with them. Not so much because I want the great schar. Just because I want to be more of a boteach b'Hashem. Because I think that the ultimate schar that one gets from having bitachon in Hashem is just that. Is that when you know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, life just becomes a lot more livable and a lot more, I guess, desirable and pleasant, no matter what happens. Say to him.